Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We trust you had a great weekend. We've got good, bad, and crazy martinis for you, as usual. And, Jim, the good martini centers around the topic we've been talking about in the bad martini Thursday and Friday, and most folks over the weekend as well, and that's the extent of the NSA's ability to collect information ranging from phone records to emails to internet searches. Now, there were plenty of Obama and even former Bush administration officials over the weekend who clearly asserted none of this is actually looked at unless there's a court order for such things so people's privacy rights are protected. Others might suggest that's not good enough. But what we learned late on Sunday is we learned who the whistleblower was. A guy who was working as a contractor from Booz Allen. He had done work with the CIA and the NSA. His name's Edward Snowden. He's now supposedly in Hong Kong. The Guardian newspaper in the UK broke this story and then released this video. And here's Snowden kind of explaining why he did what he did.
You don't have to have done anything wrong. You simply have to eventually fall under suspicion from somebody, even by a wrong call, and attack you on that basis to sort of derive suspicion from an innocent life and paint anyone in the context of a wrongdoer.
And so, Jim, other people are now asking as well, if this guy who was a contractor had access to some of this kind of information, if he's telling the truth, just how safe can we feel on this? So the fact that a robust debate will hopefully begin here is a good thing.
Greg, if you've ever looked at your company's computer guy, the guy with like 14 pagers and cell phones and buzzers around his belt and who kind of gives you that vaguely condescending look when you're having trouble with your computer and kind of snickers that, you know, your disk drive really isn't a cup holder. Well, it turns out that one of those guys can destroy your entire organization. You know, they know how these things work and none of us do. And we're all thumbs when it comes to this. Some folks might be asking, why is this a good martini? Well, I think it is good that we are having a public debate on this because I am one of those guys who looks at this, looks at what the NSA is doing. And I think the word that comes to my mind is abomination. And the idea of the founding fathers having their heads explode if they, you know, seen something like this. But I realize there are some very smart folks who disagree with me on this. And folks like Dana Perino are saying, hey, wait a minute. This is a pretty important tool for stopping terror attacks. And let's not just toss it out because some privacy advocates are upset. Obama said, what in his, you know, in his traditional burning of the straw man on Friday, he'd said, well, you can't have 100% privacy and 100% security. Well, first of all, we know we can't have 100% security because the Boston bombing still occurred while all of this was going on. So we know this is, you know, we know we're not getting 100% security. And no one was saying we demand 100% privacy. I do think we do deserve, if we're going to have this kind of a system, there needs to be some sense of public assent to it. That we, you know, we had only the quickest and vaguest of discussions of this in post 9/11 in the establishment of the Patriot Act. If you'd said to Americans back then, do you believe the government should be able to collect every bit of typing that you do, be it on a phone, be it on your computer, your email, your Facebook? We didn't even have social networks back then. Do you believe the government should be able to collect all of that? And then, you know, get a FISA warrant, which is, remember, it's supposed to be Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, not federal, as some Obama appointees have said this week.
Right.
You know, people would have been a lot more wary of that. And they would have said, wait a minute, I'm not a terrorist. I'm not a member of Al-Qaeda. Why does the government need to collect literally everything on me? By the way, the last guy who was totally convinced that extradition policies, you know, would he be safe in Hong Kong because of extradition policies? Greg, do you remember who that was?
No.
Lau from the movie The Dark Knight. And Batman got him and took him back to Gotham. So don't hang out in a skyscraper, Mr. Whistleblower.
That's right.
This whistleblower may be an odd guy. He figured out everything that was going on at the NSA, and he believes this is wrong. He believes this is being done without our consent. I think we have a very legitimate question to ask, you know, because Obama's whole defense on Friday was all about, oh, this is, we got plenty of oversight. Well, first of all, my understanding is like out of like tens of thousands of requests to the FISA courts, they've turned down 11 in the history of the FISA courts, making you wonder just what were they wanted to do in those 11? Just how bad were, you know, did those requests have to be to get that turned down when it seems like these things are pro forma? James Clapper, the director of National Intelligence, was asked directly by Senator Ron Wyden, is the NSA collecting any data on U.S. citizens? And his answer was no. If it is, it's inadvertent. And I think that's, you know, precisely the opposite of what the truth has been learned. So besides the potential perjury charges to Director Clapper, You know, legislative oversight doesn't work if the executive branch lies. You know, oversight requires knows what's going on. So I think the entire system oversight of this is broken. And I think it's time for a really intense and, you know, debate that's going to put a lot of people on the hot seat. And maybe we're going to have to scale back some of these systems that the government has clearly become very comfortable with.
The American people to trust them to do the right thing. And increasingly, story after story, we found out that in agency after agency, we can't right now. So this skepticism is extremely well-founded. And so we'll see how Congress reacts to this. Most of the bigwigs on the Intelligence Committee seem to be fine with it, so they'll be defending it. But I think the shock of the American people is out there, and now there's this debate over whether this Snowden is a hero or he belongs in prison. I'm not sure I'd go as far as hero, but I think he's done a good job to start the debate, and he probably does belong in prison because he did break the law. So
yeah,
exactly
how
that
works.
Yeah, you
can do both, you
know. All right, on to martini number two now, and just in case the administration, quote, CBS News has uncovered documents that show the State Department may have covered up allegations of illegal and inappropriate behavior within their ranks. The Diplomatic Security Service, or the DSS, is the State Department's security force charged with protecting the Secretary of State and U.S. ambassadors overseas and with investigating any cases of misconduct on the part of the 70,000 State Department employees worldwide. CBS News' John Miller reports that according to the internal State Department Inspector General's memo, several recent investigations were influenced, manipulated, or simply called off. The memo obtained by CBS News cited 8 specific examples, among them allegations that a State Department security official in Beirut engaged in sexual assaults on foreign nationals hired as embassy guards, and the charge that members of former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's security detail engaged prostitutes while on official trips in foreign countries. Once again, if there's bad news, the encouragement is to look the other way, which is exactly the opposite of the task these people are supposedly charged with.
What's kind of fascinating is that post-Benghazi, this seems like a really mild scandal for the U.S. State Department.
Oh, good.
But it's only by the standard of you know, 4 Americans being killed and lies and dishonesty and not behaving with a sense of integrity. There's some very serious crimes in there you're describing. Sexual assault. Certainly, the, you know, like, you know, soliciting prostitutes on the part of an ambassador. Just how irreplaceable is that ambassador? I mean, I don't think that really counts as outreach to troubled youth or outreach to small business women or something like that.
Right.
So it's you'd love to know which ambassador that was. The other thing which I would just say from my limited experience living overseas and getting to know some people in the embassy community. So what's kind of fascinating is the idea that this kind of, you know, wrongdoing could be going on in an embassy community and people wouldn't know about it. I'd be surprised if these things weren't less secret than one might think in the embassy community, which also kind of suggests a certain cynicism and, you know, dare I say, corruption, you know, getting into our embassies, which is a depressing and unnerving thing. But again, it fits in with everything else we're learning about the federal government these days, that basically the culture of accountability has completely eroded and people will do whatever they can get away with. And in the case of these embassies, it sounds like some very serious wrongdoing going on there.
Well, from time to time, the TSA has spent time in the crazy martini, and it's back there today. This wasn't apparently a very long holdup for a certain large passenger, but it was a famous large passenger. Peter Mayhew was stopped by TSA as he tried to board a plane because he was holding a lightsaber cane. Peter Mayhew, if you don't know, is the very large, over 7 foot tall actor who played Chewbacca. And Jim, we can only imagine that when the TSA told him to politely step aside, we got a little of this. I'm surprised they even subdued him, Jim. It's pretty tough to rein in Chewbacca.
You know, a famous man with gold skin once told me, let the Wookiee win, regarding those types of things. You know, this is tailor-made for me, Greg, and I'm trying to come up, you know, I'll try to keep this short and sweet and all that stuff. First of all, Peter Mayhew, you are our hero. Who hasn't wanted to pull a Chewbacca on TSA employees, particularly when they, you know, wandering hands and unprofessional behavior and smug sneering and all that stuff. Secondly, really? The lightsaber cane? Really? Listeners out there might not say, oh, I've never seen this guy. I've only seen him in a big hairy suit. First of all, if you've ever seen any of the Star Wars documentaries, etc., if you ever look at Peter Mayhew's eyes, you'd instantly recognize him because they're Chewbacca's eyes. This was a mask. And so that even though he's behind a mask and going, you know, I had to get my Chewbacca impression in there. All of the acting of the eyes of Chewbacca was Peter Mayhew's own. He was not computer generated or any of that stuff that came along in the later movies. And then two, like, he's got to be in his 60s or 70s by now, right, Greg? I mean, he was an older
69.
Guy back when they made the movie.
69 years old.
69. How many 69-year-old, what, is he going to use the late, did they think it was a functioning lightsaber cane? going to depressurize the plane or something? Now, the next question. Now, again, this is a true standard of the level of journalism I have come to expect in these sort of circumstances. Greg, you have the story in front of you and I don't. What color was the lightsaber?
That's what it doesn't say. I'm saying if it's red,
oh,
you got trouble.
Oh, for Pete's sake, this is...
Now, it just says, indeed, the walking implement was shaped and colored like a lightsaber. Clearly, the author of this article did not do his diligence on this. But either way, unless it was red, there's really no excuse for that. So,
well, sir, I'm sorry. It is a red lightsaber. You are, you know, that is an indicator of Sithhood. And you'd like to think the Sith would be on the terror watch list. So anyway, on light of that, you know, you let him have it, Peter Mayhew. Just, you know, let howl all you want. If he ends up being detained, make sure the binders are secure. And he is a prisoner transfer from cell block 1138. So anyway, on that happy note, I will end my Star Wars references and end the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch.
It turns out he did get it back, so they let him go. Jim, very good start to the week. Happy Monday. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Tuesday for the next Three Martini Lunch.